In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're continuing to talk about the resting in the arms of Jesus, and we're on volume 20, January 4th, 1927. And in this time of battle that we're in, this decisive battle that we're going through worldwide, Jesus is going to show us how to continue to trust in him. And this is why he asks us to listen to him when he dictates to Louisa, because what you'll hear today is this is what God has planned from the beginning of time. So he says in volume 20, January 4th, 1927, "Now, while I was amid yearning for Jesus, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior and made himself seen inside of me." Okay, so here we are longing for Jesus as well. In this world that is far from Christ, our lives are wanting to be with Jesus. We want to do the best we can to draw ever closer to our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our King, our God. And this is her yearnings. And Jesus says in sacred scripture, I will return to those souls who yearn for me, who long for me, who are seeking me. And that's us. So Jesus is coming back for his children who are yearning for him, just like Louisa. But Jesus is showing us something special here. He says, she says, my sweet Jesus moved in my interior. So where is Jesus? He's in the interior of Louisa in a way that is not just like the saints. See, the saints were doing the will of God, but what Louisa was taught how to live in the will of God. So Jesus wants us to know, where is he? How can we find him? He moved in my interior. Jesus made himself seen inside of Louisa. This again is very, very important for us to remember. That I know I hear people say there are many people living in the divine will. And if you're reading the book of heaven, Jesus says, it's you, Louisa. And the first one who will be living in this fullness of the divine will, if you read the three appeals, it is the Holy Father. And this is so important. The Lord already gave to the vicar of Christ on earth the keys to the kingdom. Whatever is bound on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven. And this is why there's a struggle. This is why there is a fight, if you want to say, a spiritual war that's going on. And the Lord needs us to go to Louisa to find him in a way that's different than the saints. The Lord knows that we long for this, but when we possess this gift fully, when that great day happens, and Jesus talks about that to Louisa often. This great day that's coming where we will be one with him and his mother, the new Adam and the new Eve, through this little newborn, Louisa. She's the connection. He says, you are the first, Louisa, connected to me, and all others will be connected to me and my mother through you, Louisa. So this is why we continue to pray with Louisa, like the rounds, to learn how to pray the rounds are so essential. And the book that we have, it's everything that Jesus tells Louisa, everything that Louisa prays in praying her rounds in the all 36 volumes. That's why the rounds books are thick, if you want to say 400 pages. It doesn't mean you have to read every single word. It means that as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, your whole prayer life changes. We begin to pray the way Jesus and Mary prayed, the way they taught Louisa how to pray. And so sometimes when, like, for example, on a Monday, I'll be reading the first week of Monday, and, you know, I'll get interrupted. So I put a marker in my book, and next Monday I will continue where I left off. And why? It's to help us, it's to train us how to pray the way Louisa prayed, how to pray the way Jesus and Mary taught Louisa. So I know some people say, well, there's so much to read. Well, it's, you do what you can. And God says he'll take care of it. He'll do the rest for us when we're overwhelmed. And, you know, there are days when we can't read everything. We can't pray everything. But the intention is important. That's why we do our prevenient act in the morning and our actual acts throughout the day. We make the prevenient act to our triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we say, I want to be fused with you, triune God. That's where we begin. I want to be one with you, triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the way you're teaching me is through Louisa. So I will be fused to you by fusing myself to Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, learning how they lived on earth as the saints possess it in heaven. And so once we start out with fusing ourselves in the divine will, linked to Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, then we fuse ourselves with all of creation. Then we fuse ourselves with all of redemption. We fuse ourselves with all the sanctification. We take everything that God has given to mankind from the instant Adam was created, when God breathed that Ruach God, that breath of God into the earth, that dust became the image and likeness of God. And then when Adam fell, that image and likeness of God was gone. So 4,000 years later, Jesus and Mary come to earth. Why? To redeem mankind. Okay. Why redemption? So that we can continue to live like this? No, Jesus says, I've redeemed you now to prepare you for that perennial communion that you will have with God that Adam had before the fall. So this is what he says through Louisa. Moving in her interior, Jesus made himself seen inside of Louisa, sitting at a little table of light, all occupied and intent on looking at the whole order of what Jesus had manifested about his most holy divine will. So this is what God is doing with us. He's saying, what have you learned in the book of heaven? What have you learned? How are you praying differently than what the saints have taught you? Now, the saints, that's a great basis where you start. But now Jesus says, I want more for you. So he's saying, in these truths, in these manifestations, in these promises that I've given to you, Louisa, he says, I want to see whether everything that was written, was anything missing? Was it all about his most holy divine will? So the Lord looks at us, and this is why I'm saying to live fully in this, nothing can be missing. I mean, that's all 36 volumes. I mean, we have a lot of work to do, to study, to review it, to begin to live this abundant life. And this is why Jesus says to Louisa and also to us, he's sitting at a little table of light within our souls, whether to see everything that was read was missing. Everything that was we read, are we putting this into practice? Are we living this life the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that was given to Louisa. That's what God is waiting for. He says, and the point Jesus had to reach in order to complete everything that regards his most holy divine will. See, this isn't just I'm joining a club, I've got my badge, and now I possess this club. The club and I are one. Jesus says, no, I'm going to be all occupied. I'm going to be all intent on looking at the order which Jesus had manifested about his most holy divine will. So he looks at everything that you've read so far. And he says, have you understood this? Have you begun to live this life, this Catholic life, this universal life that Adam lost? Are you beginning to understand this life, this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary? That at the new Adam and the new Eve, are you putting this into practice? You know, so what the church has done over the years is given us the saints. He's given us a dogma and doctrine to help us begin to understand the three powers that God has given us, our intellect, memory, and will. Through our intellect, are we seeing things from a divine perspective? Are we understanding things from Christ's point of view? Okay, so the human point of view, he says, can't comprehend this divine perspective. So what Jesus is doing is he's teaching us, you know, for a lot of people, you know, when you go to school, you learn algebra and then you learn geometry, then you learn trigonometry, then you go into physics. The divine will is everything. The divine will is everything. And it's very simple to understand, just like algebra. It's very simple so that we can begin to understand the next step, geometry. Then it's very simple so that we get to the next step, trigonometry. I mean, this is just an analogy, but what our Lord is showing us is that have you begun to understand what I, the Lord God Almighty, want for my children that I breathed into Adam? So what does Jesus say to Louisa? He says something very, very interesting. He says, Adam was dust, as much dust as God wanted. And God breathed into this dust the image and likeness of God. But what he says to Louisa is, we are already formed, okay? He can't fill us with this infinite, if you want to say, understanding, love of God, life of God, light of God. So he says, I will give it to you word by word. It's puff by puff, expanding your capacity to understand more. And then I will expand your capacity to understand more. And then I will expand your capacity. See, he wants to fill us with this Ruah of God, this breath of God, these treasures of heaven, the secrets of the Holy Spirit, as he tells Louisa in volume 17, May 4th, 1925. That's a very important time, very important passage to know, to study. This is not about anything that the saints have taught us. The saints have taught us to the point of doing the will of God. That's volume 1 through volume 10. And that's a short way of becoming a saint. If you really are living volume 1 through volume 10, you will enter into this sanctity that God is calling us to, human sanctity, to be in a divine mirror of Jesus. That's what 1 through 10 is. Then, volume 11 through 19, no saint is ever written because Jesus says it wasn't time. We had to learn the basics first. So Jesus then tells Louisa, volume 11 through volume 19, how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay. When that day happens for all the world, I mean, it's going to be a glorious day. It's basically what John Paul II said, get ready for the glory of the church, the new springtime of mankind. Get ready to begin a new and divine way of holiness. That's what he said at the canonization of St. Honorable de Francia, Louisa's director. Why? so that we can eventually get to volume 20 through volume 36 to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Now that was hidden until 1996. This is what we have is a basic understanding of sanctification. It's not about revelation. It's not about the revelation of the New Testament. It's now about sanctification. How are we going to be sanctified? You remember Jesus says, you must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. How do we do this? Well, that's what we find in the book of heaven. That's why Jesus is saying, I'm sitting inside of each and every one of you at a little table of light, and I'm all occupied. I'm all intent on looking at the whole order of what Jesus has manifested about his most holy divine will. Is it alive in you? Are you participating in this life, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary that Louisa has? So Jesus is looking and he says, I have to give you what you want, whether 30, 60, or 100 fold, as he says in sacred scripture. I have to give you what you want. It's the seed falling along the path. Is this good soil where God can bring about this, as he says to Louisa, this fruitfulness of this great gift of the divine will? So he says, I'm all occupied whether everything that you have read, everything that was written, whether anything was missing. See, Jesus wants not just to wear a badge and say, I'm in the divine will, but to know this, to love this, and to possess this gift. And that means, he says, even in holy things, he says, I want you to be freed of even holy things. That, see, a lot of people say to me, well, I love the novena to St. Teresa. I love it. It's so great. Yes, it is great. It is wonderful. But Jesus says, I want to give you more than what I gave to St. Teresa. I want to give you more than what I gave to the saints. I want you to begin to live a life, not just reflecting what the saints have accomplished, but what Jesus and Mary lived. That's what they gave to Louisa. That's why these writings are so important to Jesus. He wants us to begin to live this abundant life. You know, so he says, I want to see whether or not everything was written, anything was missing, and the point in which Jesus had to reach in order to complete everything that regards his most holy divine will. Everything that regards his most holy divine will. It's not just cliff notes. It's not just, oh, this is important. I mean, people say that to me all the time. They call and they say, oh, I found out now what it means to live in the divine will. And I'd say, well, what volume did you find it in? Oh, I found it in volume 6. Good. Jesus is showing you how to become a divine mirror of him. No, this is about living fully in the divine will. I said, no, that's volume 6. It's just the beginning of this teaching that Jesus gave to Louisa. Then somebody would call and they go, now I know what it is. It's following the divine will. And this is how we have to live. I said, what volume is it in? Well, it's in volume 12. Well, that's now Jesus is showing you how to live in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. See, it's stages that Jesus is teaching. But if you don't have the beginning, you can't get to the second stage. I know so many people says, well, I know the lives of the saints. I don't have to read volume 1 through volume 10. You're a saint? You know how to do this? You got to read it over. That's why the calendar is so beautiful. When you're reading the calendar every day, Jesus is leading you through volume 1 through volume 10, how to become a divine mirror of Jesus, lead you through volume 11 through volume 19, how to receive this living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. And then volume 20 through volume 36, how to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. It's a process. There's different ways that Jesus is teaching as you would go to school. Remember, Louisa was schooled for as Archbishop Piccieri said, for 70 years in bed. That was her schooling. 70 years in bed, reading every day, studying every day, listening to Jesus every day. And that's, here we are in volume 20, 1927. She's got 20 more years of life left, 20 more years of studying. And here she is in volume 20 in 1927. Our Lord has got great, great plans. And he's teaching us slowly and deliberately. And he's asking us to not just say, well, I've got it now. Now I can begin to live this. I have it. I possess it. Louisa, at the end of her life, Jesus says, he said this to Louisa. When I have given you everything, basically in the book of heaven, then I will take you to heaven. She stopped writing in 1938. It was 9 more years of studying where Jesus says, now you have this. Now you possess this. Now I can take you to heaven. When we look at this, this is a lifetime of study. It becomes everything. Yes, I love the saints. I love what the saints have taught us because of their study. But that's doing the will of God. That like I said, that's volume 1 through volume 10, becoming a divine mirror of Jesus. But to live in the divine will is only found in the book of heaven. To receive the divine inheritance of the Father is only found in the book of heaven. You can't find it anyplace else. So I know a number of people that blend things together. I'm going to put this together with what I've learned Saint Isaac Jogues. I'm going to put this together with him. And the Archbishop was very clear. He says, don't mix the divine will with anything. I know some people have visions. They have locutions. They have apparitions. That's for the saints. But why does Our Lady say, when I stop appearing here, I will never appear on earth again? What does that mean? It means that we will be with her. She doesn't have to appear. So see, what God has given to Louisa is not a vision. It's not a locution. It's not an apparition. She is one with Jesus and Mary. Why? She's the newborn. She's the firstborn. And this is why Jesus wants us to become aware of what this is all about. He says, everything which regarded God's holy divine will, the words, the knowledges, assumed the image of a ray of light in the hands of Jesus. Remember, you see in the Divine Mercy, the two rays coming from Jesus' heart. He says to Louisa, to understand the Sacred Heart is only going to happen when we're in the divine will. We're going to see the Sacred Heart of Jesus, not with just flames, as St. Margaret Mary did, not with just two rays, as St. Faustina did, but you're going to see 360-degree rays of light emanating from the heart of Jesus. He's got much more to teach us, much more to show us. So he says this. Everything which regarded his most holy divine will, the words, the knowledges, assume the image of a ray of light in that. Now it's the hands of Jesus. Okay. In which he ordered on the desk of light, he was so engrossed and occupied that as much as I spoke and called Jesus, he would not pay attention to me. See, Jesus is enamored by his divine will. And this life that Jesus possesses, he wants to give to us. He wants to see that reflecting in us. So a lot of times these prayers that Louisa was praying, I spoke and I called him, but he would not pay attention to me. Why? What he is focused on is the rays of light that he wants to see emanate from us. in the likeness of God, to become a true image of Jesus, to become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's only in volume 1 through volume 10. So I, Louisa, kept silent, contenting myself with being near Jesus and with looking at him. That's what we do now when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We're looking at Jesus. He's looking at us. We're falling in love with Jesus. We're beginning to understand how beautiful, how powerful, how loving our God is in the Holy Eucharist. We're just scratching the surface of what God is doing, being with us being with him in the monstrance in the Holy, in church, in front of the Blessed Sacrament. We're just beginning. And just looking at Jesus, being near Jesus. That's why we go to Holy Mass, to look at Jesus. When the priest holds up the host and he says, "This is the Lamb of God," look at him. Jesus wanted his mother to watch him die. He wants to be seen. It's not to bow your head and say no. He says, the priest says, "This is the Lamb of God." Look at Jesus, recognize him. Adore him, love him, praise him, thank him, bless him, worship him. That's what Jesus is teaching us with the Book of Heaven. So he says, "Then after a long silence, Jesus said to me, 'My daughter, when it comes to things which regards my most holy divine will, heaven and earth remain silent and reverent.'" It's God. We're seeing God, the true divine mirror of Jesus. We're seeing the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. We're receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. Everything on heaven and earth remains silent and reverent. You're in the presence of God. That's why when you spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament, it's not to read a book. It's to fall in love with Jesus. You're not there. And people say, "Well, what about the divine will? Aren't we?" Yeah, you can read, but you have to look at him. You have to fall in love with him. You have to recognize he has called you to him, not us. And why did he call you? Because he says to Louisa, "Why did you come here? Why did you come here? What's the reason for you being in front of me at this point?" Jesus says, "Why are you here?" And it should be to fall in love with you, Jesus, to love you more, Jesus. You got to get in this conversation with Jesus. It's not to read a book. It's not to pray prayers. It's to see God and fall in love with him. "So I kept silent," Jesus says, "contenting myself with being near him." Oh, sorry. Wrong line. "To be spectators," listen to this, "to be spectators of a new act of the supreme will. My daughter, when it comes to things regarding my most holy divine will, in you and in me, as with Louisa, heaven and earth remain silent. Heaven and earth remain reverent, to be spectators of the new act of this supreme will. As you begin to learn how to pray the rounds, heaven and earth remain silent and reverent as spectators of this new act that you're learning how to do of the supreme will." You see how important this is? Everything new, every new act of the divine will brings to everyone one more divine life. All of heaven, all of earth, he says, brings all to one more divine life, one more divine strength, one more divine happiness, one more divine enrapturing beauty. That's to become a divine mirror of Jesus. That's to be, to enter into the living in the divine will through the power of the Holy Spirit. That's to receive the divine inheritance of the Father. Therefore, the operating divine will that releases an act from itself is the greatest thing which exists in heaven and on earth. I started, don't you want to do this for Jesus? Don't you want to be the best for Jesus? Don't you want to live this abundant life for Jesus? It's for his glory. I just heard one song of the Protestant channel of them singing, I can't wait to receive from you what you want me to have. And that's good. That's saintly. But our job is to praise God and to love God and to glorify God and to worship God. That's heaven. It's to give to God all the glory, all the love that he is God so rightly deserves. It's not about us. But Jesus says this, heaven and earth remain silent, reverent, to be spectators of a new act, something new that you've learned today. This is what God is waiting for, of this supreme will. Every new act of the divine will brings to everyone, both in heaven and earth, one more divine life, one more divine strength, one more divine happiness, one more divine enrapturing beauty. This is the prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful Catholics. Enkindle us the fire of your love. That's the divine will. Send forth your spirit and we will be recreated to go back to where Adam was before the fall. We have been redeemed. Now Jesus wants to sanctify us. Why? So that you, Holy Spirit, will renew the face of the earth through us. Every act that you do in the divine will, with your prevening act of the morning, your actual acts throughout the door, every act brings to everyone one more divine life. Everything is changing. The world is changing. A divine strength, a divine happiness, a divine beauty. Everything is changing. The evil one is recognizing what he prevented Adam and Eve from doing, Jesus and Mary did. And now 2,000 years later, we have a newborn. She's doing, living the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. That's why she's the firstborn. And now when we read this, when we study this, when we put this into practice, the world is changing. Jesus says, if you're worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative, you are anticipating hell. If you're peaceful, joyful, and happy, you are anticipating heaven. How can we be peaceful, joyful, and happy in today's age? As we listen to Jesus and Mary speak to us through Louisa. You can be perfectly peaceful, perfectly joyful, perfectly happy. You can begin to live heaven on earth. You can begin to have the face of the earth changed. What's happening? Jesus says, the divine will is beginning to reign. Therefore, the operating the divine will that releases an act from itself is the greatest thing which can exist in heaven and on earth. Do you believe that? Is the greatest thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. Those are the words of Jesus. Do you believe that? If you believe that, then you have to begin to read, study, and put this into practice. Oh, I'm not, so I have told you, oh, people say, oh, Father, I'm not like you. I can't remember anything. I can't remember anything. But I'm reading every day, and every day Jesus is teaching me. How? Through little Louisa. We read, we study, we put this into practice. The divine will is the greatest thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. Write that on a note and tape it to your mirror in your bathroom. Those are the words of Jesus. I believe that. This is why my focus has been on the divine will. You know, I heard about the divine will when I was a deacon. No, before I was a deacon. And it just changed me completely. And that has been my focus ever since. And it has to become each and every one of ours focus. It has to be everything to us. Do you want to do the greatest thing for God? Do you want to please God in everything that you've thought, said, and did? Do you want to repair and redo in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future? Do you want the face of the earth to be renewed? This is the greatest thing that can exist in heaven and on earth. I mean, if you believe that, then the book of heaven has to become your everything. Nothing can compare to this. Nothing can compare to this. Why do you think everything's falling apart? The kingdom is coming. It's not really falling apart. God's getting everything in order. He's seeing who wants heaven and who wants hell. Who wants to live eternally with God? And he says, it must start now on earth as it is in heaven. He says, when I rose from the dead, I rose from the dead because I want all my children to rise from the human will, to begin to live in the divine will before they die. That's what Jesus is teaching us. The new heavens, more beautiful sons, can come out of one more act in my divine will. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, you haven't read enough. Jesus is convincing. He tells us over and over and over again, new heavens and our more beautiful sons, S-U-N-S, come out from one more act done in the divine will. One more round in the divine will. Why? When you pray the rounds, if you really look at the book, I love the rounds for Easter, Pentecost. I just love them. I pray them all the way to Christ the King. I don't go back to ordinary time because I'm enamored by what Jesus tells Louisa, what Louisa tells us, what the Blessed Mother tells Louisa about Easter and Pentecost. It's heaven on earth. We can begin to live that now. You don't have to wait until after you die. That's what Jesus wants us to know. Therefore, when it comes to the divine will, you and I must put everything aside and occupy ourselves only with the eternal fiat. What is Jesus saying to you? When it comes to the divine will, you and I, God, must put everything aside and occupy ourselves only with the divine will. That's the eternal fiat of God. That's why we're alive today. That's why he predestined us to live at this time. He wanted us to be alive at this time. Not St. Francis, not St. Anthony, not St. George. He wanted us to be alive today. Why? He wanted us to become the little children of the holy divine will to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. 2,000 years of praying the Our Father is going to be fulfilled by the little children of the holy divine will. That's what Jesus tells Louisa. And as you read this, as you study this, you begin to understand there's no more misery. There's no more worry. There's no more fear. There's no more anxiety. There's no more complaints. There's no negativity. It's trusting in God. Jesus, I trust in you. But more than that, Jesus, I believe and I have confidence in you. More than that, I will put everything aside, Lord, and occupy myself one with you, only with the divine will. That's what God's waiting to hear from us. That's what he's waiting. When Jesus speaks to Louisa, yes, it is to Louisa, but now it's to us. She began to live this. She said, yes, I want this. God has to hear that from us. Do we want this gift? Do we want to live this abundant life? Or are we going to continue to live our miserable life of worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin? That's all got to go. That can't be part of us anymore. That's the way to death. We are on the way to life, peaceful, joyful, happy, heaven. It's ours if we want it. So he says this. This is not about reordering a human will in you. That's not just to become a saint or just any virtue that the saints have. But this is about reordering a divine and operating will on earth as it is in heaven. It's to bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So why are you alive today? Why are we seeing everything happening in the world? Because Jesus is saying to us, yes, there's going to be a great chastisement where the large majority of humanity will be gone. He says, but my children are marked by my mother, he says, and no harm can come to them. Are you praying the rosary? Are you wearing the scapular? Are you attending First Saturday masses? If you are, then I'm pretty sure Our Lady has marked you. She has blessed you. And then the second part is, he says, not only are those marked, but the chastisement will have little or no effect upon the little children and the holy divine will. Do you believe that? Or are you worried, fearful, nervous, scared, doubting? That's all got to go. Why? Because the next part is this. The survivors of this great chastisement will be the little children of the holy divine will. Do you believe that? Those are the words that Jesus gave to Louisa. Do you believe it? I believe it. Completely. So he says, it's not about reordering a human will in you or any virtue. It's about reordering a divine will, operating will on earth as it is in heaven. Therefore, it takes very much. This is why I read the calendar every day. Read it every day. Promise Jesus that you'll read it every day. And yes, there are some passages that are long. If you can't finish it in the one day, finish it the next day, but don't get too far behind. There's a lot that Jesus wants to teach you. There's a lot that Jesus wants to show you. He says this, therefore, it takes very much, and this is why being occupied with things which regard me more, this is the divine will, and which will bring the great good of a new act done in the divine will, done in the supreme will. He says, therefore, I don't pay attention to your calls. Because those are little, those are insignificant. Because when it comes to doing the most, the greatest, the gift of gifts, the prodigy of prodigies, the minor things are put aside. That's what Jesus is teaching us. He hears us. He hears our pleas. He hears our cries. Yeah, he says, I've got something that's going to make everything's going to be repaired. Everything's going to be renewed. The kingdom is coming. And he says, yes. And like he said to Louisa, you do what I want and I'll do what you want. I have total confidence in that. I know that God is going to take care of everything that I want. So I just put it in his hands. Whatever you want, God, is what I want. I trust you. I believe in you. I hope in you. I have confidence in you. What do you want me to do? And that's, what does he say? There's a lot. There's much. You got to be occupied with the things that regard me. That's the book of heaven. What I see the book of heaven is when Jesus says, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will reveal to you all truths and he will remind you of everything that I have said. That's volume 17, May 4th, 1925. The secrets, the treasures of the Holy Spirit. God has given this to us through the book of heaven. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us to begin to live this life. That's what he's looking for. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name under the mantle of Mary through the intercession of Louisa. And we pray that this prayer becomes God's command, that all the little children of holy divine will become divinely healed. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.